Hey, everybody, welcome to That Damn Podcast. I am your host, Craig Dusworth, with my co-host, Mr. John Reese. Today, we have another very special guest. We seem to be on a drummer kick. You see, my son's a drummer, so I kind of like drummers. I have these drummers. I love drummers. Anyway, we have a great one again today. Please welcome Bobby Ault.
What's up, everybody?
Sancho, what do you think?
Let's go.
Craig, of course, forgot to mention Sancho.
I did. You know, I keep doing that.
The girls love Sancho, bro.
This is Sancho. Yeah. Sancho is our mascot.
Yeah, that's
this is John's son.
That's my son. Wow, Bobby. I mean, what's amazing, Craig, is Bobby and I have such history together. Mm. And I just love him to death. He's one of my favorite people on this planet. First and foremost, he's an artist. He's an entrepreneur. Mm. But most importantly, he's a giving, amazing human being. And then at the top of the list is he's a fucking amazing dad.
Well, that's so nice to hear. Yeah,
you know,
like
we could sit here and talk for 5 hours, so we've got a limited amount of time. And let's just dive right into it, Bobby. You know, you have an incredible history. When we first met was, I think, in the 2002 Warped Tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something like that. I was managing the Used and Story of the Year. And Bobby was in this unbelievable band called Stun.
Yes.
S.T.U.N.
Yes, it was an acronym.
Yeah. What did it stand for?
Scream Towards the Uprising of Nonconformity.
Wow!
Oh, yeah, yeah, like it was.
Talk to us about Stun and what went down and all of it, you know?
Yeah, Stun was my first go at my... You know, it was like when the band came together. Mm-hmm. And I had been in a lot of bands up till that, you know, trying to make it, doing the LA thing, playing my heart out. And I got a call from two friends. I got a call from my friend Chris and a call from my friend Nick. And they were like, hey, I know you're in like five bands, but like we got something really good going on here. And we met this crazy guy, Neil, and he's just got a great vision for this band. And we think you'd be perfect. So I was like, well, that sounds cool. Let me come check it out. And I went down and it was like that Zeppelin story where we all got into the room and it just all came together so perfectly. And I had a rehearsal space in downtown LA and that became our, you know, every day for a year. And this guy, Neil, had this great vision for the band. He wrote all the lyrics. He had the look down. It was very serious band. And I liked that because I really wanted to be a professional drummer and I wanted to do the whole thing. And then, you know, we put it all together, managers and attorneys, and we got the record deal, you know. Yeah. We got the major label deal, and it was incredible. And then, you know, it's one of those VH1 stories, I guess, for me, where it just, you know, we did all the touring. I used all my networking, everybody we knew. We did the best tours with the Used and Manson and the Warped Tours and great management, Bino, one of my best friends. And everything was there, and the band fell apart. Mm. You know, it was whatever it was, I still can't really put my finger on it. Yeah. You know, how it all just was so big. You know, we were in Japan, like they say, big in Japan. And we were in Rolling Stone magazine, and then it was nothing. Done. And we never, ever played again.
You know, and it's like, man, from when I left Guns N' Roses and, you know, got into management in 93 and started managing tons of artists, and, you know, one out of 1,000 makes it, man. Mm-hmm. It is the most difficult thing on the planet is starting and running a music festival, and secondly, breaking a band.
Right.
Because there's just so much competition and people's taste, and then you're bringing four, five, three personalities together that can cause issues. There's girlfriends, there's all these things, you know?
I think that's the hardest part, right? Is actually keeping the band together.
Yeah.
Because there's three, four, five personalities, like you said, and they have to jive all the time.
And I think for us, it was like our... you know, I was the drummer, and Nick, who was my best friend, was the bass player, and it was like, we were ready to go. We're always ready to play, you know. And I think the singer and the guitar player, they just, there was something that they couldn't get together to get, you know, we were, ready to make the second album. Everyone was stoked on what we did. Like you said, it's hard to get that far. We had all the best people. And then I went through a lot after that because I feel like I let all my team down because I brought the team together, yeah. you know? And it was hard to come out of that, but I did with Street Drum Corps, and it's something that's still going to this day. So,
well, you know. And your singer married Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah, he was married to her the whole time.
They're not together anymore.
No, it's been, I think yeah. they've been separated now for years, but they had, you know, beautiful boy.
This is Clueless, Alicia?
Yeah, I got a great quick sideways on yeah. you were there. So we had a house in Lake Havasu, mm-hmm. and we invited the entire Warped Tour, and I think it was 2004, 5, or 6, mm-hmm. and there were hundreds of people from the Warped Tour. We had 20 buses, wow. all of them broke down, mm-hmm. it was 120 degrees. Kevin Lyman and I rented, Gomez, we rented tons of jet skis, people crashed, it was insane. And I remember we were cooking the food, and she wouldn't let us put... the burgers.
Because of vegan.
Yeah. Even though it was burned the shit. No animal could touch the vegan stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's just Alicia. So she was amazing.
And then she went on one of those shows like Conan or Letterman, or she was on one of those promoting a movie while we were on the Warped Tour. Mm. And she told the story of like being in the bus and being yeah. with us, you know, being like yeah. with Stun on the...
Well, that movie that she made was one of the biggest movies.
Clueless, right?
Of all time,
Clueless.
Yeah.
Still massive. Massive. Still massive. Yeah. And she was in all the Aerosmith videos. Hello.
And she yeah. was such a... Video Vixen. She's still a great friend, and she's such a big supporter of, you know, everything that I do, and she's always checking in on things. And same with Chris, you know, her ex. You know, we're always checking in on That's each great. Other. And, awesome. And it's interesting because we just got a call to potentially reunite for the
Here
When
we, go.
We Were Young festival.
Yeah.
Still wait for Sean to call me back. No, but you know,
he'll be on the podcast coming up. Sean right? Akavon.
Yes.
So Sean, where are we at? No, I had posted my daughter, who's 9,
yeah.
Wanted to see Stun. And so I pulled up some old videos and I was showing and I was like videotaping her reaction. And she said, she looks at me and it's right in the camera. She goes, "Dad, this is really good. You got to get the band back together."
I love it.
And she knows everything I do all day. She's my best friend.
Sure.
And it just, it's like, yeah, we're probably not going to get the band back together, but I posted it. And then Sean wrote on there, "Would you?" Yeah. So I called the guys and I was like, I've asked them for 20 years. Yeah. I'm the drummer. I'm like, let's get the band back
together. Yeah, right. Yeah.
When Matt was telling the same stories, we just did a podcast a couple weeks ago with Matt. And it was getting bands together and working with singers.
Oh,
it's all all a science for the drummer, man.
It's a science. And of course, called Bino right away and I was like, "Any advice, like before I call the guys and stuff?" He's like, "Just throw it out there." He's like, "Because if you don't dance around it, don't try to play any game, just like straight up." So I did. And I called him and everyone was like, "Cool, let's..." You know, so now we're waiting to see if this really is something that could happen. Wouldn't be for the money. Might be on a stage out by some, you know, Porta Johns like I've always played. But it would be so fun to do it.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah,
what was that quote that you sent me about your age? Like,
you're never too old to be who you could have been.
What?
I live by
it. Well, okay. Yeah. I'm a motivational speaker. I do these events.
Right.
That's my name.
Yeah.
I want that.
He sent it to me, and you know, it's you can be whatever you want to be, and you're never.
I think we've all reinvented our lives.
Oh,
how
God.
Many
Absolutely.
Times have we all reinvented our lives?
But I'm a big believer in that. That you're never too young. You know, I've been told I became a speaker at 40 something years old.
Wow.
And my mother told me, "You can't be a speaker. You don't know how to speak." I'm like,
"Thanks, Mom."
Speaking right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, but that's what happens. People tell us what we can't do, why we can't do it, or it's already been done before. Give me an effing break. Are you kidding?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I love that quote. That's good.
And that was a friend of mine had told me that, and he's an older guy and he makes movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had said something in those, you know, something like that to me. And it's always stuck with me because I feel like I haven't even gotten close to what
good
I'm supposed
for you.
To be doing.
And how old are you?
I'm turning 50 this year.
Oh my God! Where's the party?
Damn, you look good.
We're
here, Palm Springs,
at the Sinatra's.
Bobby.
You look great, dude.
Bobby is Sid Vicious reincarnated.
Yes.
The girls, like, they just would throw him themselves
at him.
I mean, yeah, he's a damn sexy guy.
That's why
guy.
I picked up drumsticks to begin with, to get the girls.
That's
what
my son said. Like,
yeah, isn't that always? Yeah,
everyone always says it's the lead singer. No, it's a drummer.
No.
Everyone
and you don't want, I mean, I don't know if your son's band has a lead singer with a girlfriend, but you don't want them to.
He has a wife.
Oh, well then.
Oh,
no. Yeah, it's one of those things where when you're young, you're just like, I know I can do this. I'm pretty good at it. And maybe this girl I like will look at me right. if I at the school thing. And you know what? It worked.
It totally
so then
worked.
I kept doing it.
I love it. Let's talk about Street Drum Corps. I mean, I was involved for many years with Street Drum Corps. Magical. I mean, Jimmy, the legendary Jimmy Iovine, signs the band.
Oh, great meeting.
You know,
great meeting.
Great, unbelievable meeting.
Greenspan, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Christina Aguilera just had a baby. We gotta go. And then out walks Weezer. Remember?
It was a revolving door of superstars. But
that was awesome.
You know, on top of the fact that Bobby's an incredible drummer, he's also an amazing songwriter. Mm. He wrote with Street Drum Corps, and he got caught in just the as most artists do. You know, I've had a number of Eveline. You remember the band Eveline?
Of course, yeah, great.
I've had a number of artists in my career that I've gotten signed and worked with that just for some fucked up reason it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, he's got hits that I tell him about every few months. It's like that song should be sold to somebody because it's that freaking.
And we ended up getting rid of a couple of them. Sum 41 bought one from us, and Marty Fredrickson. Awesome songwriter I worked with, you know, he gave one to somebody and like, you know, it, I got to work, I was a drummer, but I knew I could front, I knew I could sing, I knew I could
do all the things. He was the lead singer in Street Drum
Corps. Yeah, and you know, Jimmy Iovine was like, can somebody kind of front this? You know, I'm seeing all the drums and everything.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, well, you know, he's like, and he kept looking at the video we were showing, it was kind of a presentation to him. And in that meeting, and he kept saying, well, who's that? And I've always had different haircuts and different styles. And he's like, I was like, well, that's me. He's like, and then who's that? And that's me. And then he goes, okay, hold on, guys. Let's get Trent on the phone. Trent Reznor.
Oh, yeah.
Literally in the meeting.
In the meeting. So he calls up Trent. Trent's on the phone. You know, they're talking. I got these drummer guys here. And I think that the record should be produced by you.
Wow.
And then he's like, Hey, Ryan, get Dre on the phone. This really
literally
truly happened.
Happened in the meeting called Dr.
So
Dre.
So Dre comes on. So we've got all of us sitting there. We've got Trent and Dre.
Wow.
And he's like, they should produce your record together. And still to this day, I'd still like to make that record. It didn't happen because Beats happened, American Idol, like you said, all these things happened. Yeah. And, you know,
Your A&R guy got fired.
Yes, Ryan, our main cheerleader, got fired. We ended up having three guys after that. And that's the system,
That's the system.
And that's what happens. It's not even about the talent, right?
No.
It's not about the talent. It's not about the song sometimes. No. It's about the crap that happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, and so we ended up doing a lot on our own with John, you know?
I mean, you toured with 30 Seconds to Mars all throughout Europe. Did a bunch of amazing things.
Crazy
at the height of 30 Seconds to Mars,
We were doing the biggest shows.
That's great.
All throughout Europe. It was probably one of the greatest times of my life. I had just met my ex-wife now, but I just met her. It was just it was just so special. It was.
And you have that. We were just talking a couple of weeks ago with Matt, you know, and we have the memories. If nothing else, we have the coolest memories. How many people outside of this world did what you did?
No,
right?
and that's something I was thinking on the way here when I was listening to what's the band? Of That Nature. I was just listening to them going, this is amazing. And we do have those memories, and it is so special when you can get a couple guys together, girls, whatever, and do bands.
Yeah.
Do bands, everybody.
Do bands.
Do bands. Do it until you can't.
I love it.
You just do it.
You know, and
it's
look,
fun.
I've been blessed, right? I mean, I got to start. My first show was Led Zeppelin in 1976. Okay,
my favorite.
That was my first show I ever saw.
That's why
Arizona State University. And at that moment in time, I chose music, and you know, all security in the 80s, and then the 90s, Guns N' Roses, the biggest thing. I'm 28 years old, with flying around in a fucking massive private airliner, playing hundreds of stadiums all over the planet.
being Zeppelin, like what you wanted.
And it just, you know, so it's so refreshing. Craig and I manage three bands of that nature, mm-hmm. Chain Saint and Thredge.
And I've heard them all, and I'm just so excited for all of this.
We are too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I dug my toes deep into EDM, obviously, Lost Lands.
Yeah, I love a lot of Skrillex.
Big stuff that I did in EDM. It's so refreshing mm-hmm. to see kids play instruments.
Yeah, thank God.
You know, instead of, no disrespect right, to EDM.
No, we love that.
It's no disrespect, it's but thing, yeah. It's not a backpack and a flight with one guy and a you know, it's actual... That coming together.
Yes.
And it's work. We like to do the work.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a lot of work involved.
Lots of work.
You know?
So Street Drum Corps has played, you know, how many theme parks do you do now? And talk about it. Because Street Drum Corps is a band.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're a troupe. They're also a business. Like that's what I love about Bobby. Yeah. Bobby is an
entrepreneur.
No, he's an art troupe.
Did you guys just coin
that? I just coined that. He just told me he's an
entrepreneur.
Forget about talking about his pizza place.
Yeah, we
Bobby's Pizza.
You didn't even write Bobby's Pizza.
No, it's on there.
No, we added that. Bobby's Pizza.
Our co-host is acting up, guys. Sorry. Be quiet.
He wants the squeaky
ball. Come here, Sancho. Get over here.
He wants the squeaky ball.
He can have his time, too.
But the squeaky ball will squeak.
Okay. We don't really run by a script here. That's that damn podcast.
I mean,
we have dogs, squeaky balls. We have a band, Threads, playing next door. We don't care.
I love it.
It's that damn podcast.
Yeah. This is pretty much my life. Like, I don't know what I'm getting myself into half the time, but I come and I do it.
There you go. I show up.
Bam. You got to show up.
You got to show up in life.
Yeah, you got to show up.
So let's get back on point.
Okay,
so talk about the parks that you do and what immersive kind of like art of just dudes playing trash cans and kegs.
Yeah, you know, after
people gathering around them that drum circle. And also what you do with your brother, the sound bath stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, after Stun ended, I was really upset because we put so much time and effort into it and so much. And someone, my friend Marco, said to me, well, why don't you know, you and your brother, when you guys are doing your drum circles, it's so magical. How can you turn that into something? And I said, oh boy, you know, yeah, right. A bunch of drummers. How do we do that? But Stomp was popular and Blue Man Group was popular. And of course, street performers, you know, street drummers. And you know, absolutely took from all those things. And after Stun, I said, I have to be in control now. Yeah. I can't be the drummer waiting for a song to be written. I have more to do, you know, and no disrespect to the bands and that vibe, but I have to go off on my own and I have to figure something out. So my brother and I, we got a call from Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction. We're the biggest fans of Jane's Addiction and Stephen. And he said, hey, you know, he had met us through Stun and all these things that we were doing in the drum community. And he said, hey, I do this camp in Malibu and I got to go out on tour. And I think you guys could help. It was a camp for people with disabilities. And, you know, Adam and I said, yeah, we'll take it over because we used to go and watch him. And he would host these drum circles for these kids as part of a summer program. So that's kind of how it started. Wow. Adam and I would go and we'd bring friends and we would drum for these, you know, kids. And then we kept getting the calls from like the people from the Camp Joan Myers saying it was everyone's favorite thing of the summer when they would ask, what was your favorite thing? So we kept doing that for years and that kind of built into this little drum show. But we called it Bobby and Adam Alt's experiment, drum experiment, because we never really knew what we were going to do. And we wanted to make something that wasn't scripted, kind of like what we just talked about with the show. So we would go up there, we would like put a stage or wherever we were with a bunch of instruments. And Adam and I would look at each other and we would just do it. Nothing was rehearsed. Then we met another guy, our partner Frank.
Who's now in Sum 41.
He's a drummer of Sum 41.
Frank Zuma.
Yep, best partner I ever had.
Shout out to Frank Zuma.
Frankie, you know.
You're short in stature, but massive in everything else.
Massive. One of my, you know, I did, you know, 17, 18 years as him being my partner. And incredible guy. And so, you know, we met him through friends and all this. And then he was like, oh, I work in the theme park industry in New York and New Jersey. And what you and Adam are doing, you know, with the concerts and the Warped Tour, you know, and all this. And so we put together a reel. We played a bunch of junk. And then, you know, that was kind of what happened.
And I saw it and I just freaked out.
Yeah.
And we put them on the Warped Tour. We put them on the... Yeah. They played in front of millions of people. Yeah.
Millions.
They do EDC.
Yeah. I mean, we still work with Insomniac to this day. That's our biggest account is Insomniac. Yeah.
So they do all of the EDC stuff. And
yeah,
how many
parks.
Theme parks?
So we do... Now the fairs are what really took over.
Oh, yeah.
So we do about 10 to 12... state fairs throughout the United States every summer and fall.
That's great.
We do theme parks. I've actually dipped a little because theme parks, you know, they change every 5 years. So that's actually what I'm going after this year. Mm-hmm. We're upping our theme park experience. Good. It's called Blood Drums. So that's a
whole side thing.
Yeah, it's another little side thing that we do through Street Drum Corps.
Entrepreneur, that's what my man is.
Entrepreneur. And honestly, it's like it's not even like these things that are that thought out, but it's like I'll say something, and then my brother and at the time Frank and we'll just do it, and we'll call people, we'll annoy John all day and Sean and Lyman. I mean, my God, what they must think about us, because we're not. It's not like we're Justin Bieber. Yeah. So we're calling and we're saying, we play trash, please put us on your thing. But when John walked, I remember where we were the day he walked up and he said, I want to work with you guys. Like, I want to help you guys out. And for me, knowing John working with the Used, I was so obsessed with the Used and what they were doing, because
they were like Zeppelin to us. The Used were on such
a
fire.
Yeah, yeah. And they were doing everything. And I remember one day, it was the end of the Warped Tour, and you know, I'm sitting there with my band Stun. We were probably just about to break up at the time, you know. And I see John and Bert and everybody. We were best friends with that band. And John walks up with like these envelopes of like cash from like merch money. And he's like handing them all. It's like the end of the tour. Yeah, he's like handing them this cash. And I'm just going, son of a bitch. I'm like, I think we paid to be on that tour, you know, somehow. But when John walked up to Street Drum Corps, and I knew it was genuine, because I always said I didn't want to be the kid that was like knocking on everyone's door, like, pick me. So when John was like, that's badass, I knew we had won at that moment.
And John just knocks on the door. Yeah, John knows everybody.
And then it all happened. You know, there were so many things, because you need a team, you need management.
100%.
You need it all. And I think that's something I've built over the years, genuinely. But when your team is there, you got to rock. You got to show up. You got to do the work.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, 100%.
And we're gonna touch on it in this episode. But you know, that's why Bobby had to be on Breaking Into Music May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Palm Springs, where we're bringing together 24 of the most incredible mentors.
Amazing.
To help people. There is no Music U. There's the School of Hard Knocks in music, and now we're gonna hopefully, you know, sharpen that edge and give people the ability to reach out and touch people like Bobby, who's maybe his first band didn't make it, but dude found a way.
But that's what that's the key to what I think we're bringing.
That's what we're bringing.
To Breaking Into Music. Mm-hmm. You found a way. Okay, Stun did very, very well.
Yes,
you're on these huge tours.
Better than all my other friends.
You pivoted, and I hate using that word, but you pivoted. You did something different, and now you found another way to stay in the music industry.
Yes.
So
let's talk about Rod Stewart.
Yeah. Oh, that was a fun one.
Let's talk about the legend that is Rod Stewart.
Oh my God, that's the best.
You know, I mean,
well, actually, and Rod Stewart, that was through Caroline. You know, that's one of those great things where I got a call. Caroline's like the most connected girl. She does so many great
Pizza
things.
Pizza Girl. Shout out to Pizza Girl.
Yeah, shout out to
she's
Pizza
doing.
Girl, taking over the world. Yeah. We love it. I got a call. So Rod Stewart is looking for a tour manager. And Caroline was working with Rod Stewart's manager, Arnold Stiefel. And they need somebody out there on the road that's been in a band that has, you know, toured the world and everything, that could help tour manage and bring the band and the crew together. So it was almost like a mission that I had. And I was like, what? And I just had Bella, you know, she was like two. And I'm like, go out on the road, what? And then they sent me like the offer. And I was like, oh, yeah. That's and yes. It was like, it's everything you'd think. It was yeah. It was Rod Stewart. It's you know, 5-star, you know, hotels and private jets. And I'd never tour managed. I'd had tour managers. So I called all my old tour managers and I said, you know, what do I do? And I hired an assistant. And we, you know, we put it all together and there was like 13 crew and band that I was in charge of.
Wow.
And Rod was fucking awesome. Yeah. He's the only boss I've had.
He's an incredible guy.
I've never had incredible a boss. Guy. I've always kind of been my own boss.
Yeah. If I told you lately that I love you.
You have. You actually have. I have so many Rod stories. We might have to come back again. You know, we might have to come back again and talk more about Rod. Because that's a whole episode.
How about that pandemic thing that we did? The Harmony.
Harmony Bluff.
So a buddy of mine bought a big piece of land right on the ocean. Wealthy guy, amazing human being, him and his brother. And he was looking for talent to perform at it. He basically, the pandemic year 2020, Burning Man was off. Mm-hmm. And he was a burner. And so were all of his friends. So he bought the most beautiful property on the planet. It's just south of Cambria, just north of Cayucas or whatever. Yep. And he flew everybody in his jet, then flew everybody
to
San Luis Obispo, flew him from San Luis Obispo in a helicopter to the site, invited 70 of his best friends.
John's like, we got a gig for Street Drum Corps. You're going to do your sound bath. You're going to play. It's a there's a private jet and a helicopter.
That's all you need to know.
And he's like, I'm in. I'm in. And that's the first time I ever did mushrooms.
Wow.
That's the first time.
And that, so that night we were on this.
Oh my God!
You had like a can. What is it called?
Yeah.
And we were racing this thing to the edge.
Well, I wasn't doing mushrooms when I was doing that.
No, this was like stopped. We were just racing this thing around.
Kids, don't.
We'll get to the mushroom scene. And we were just racing this thing around, and we were living the dream and playing music, and there was like a dance party. And then at the very end of the night, you know, everything mellowed out. And people were doing their thing. And
So I was wearing this tie-dye outfit.
Right.
And like this. Like it was like, so it might have been.
And I took some mushrooms. I'd never done it. I want to try it.
Right.
Greatest experience of my life. But I could, I literally.
He lost control of his body.
I lost control of my body.
Oh, really?
Bobby could not get me up. I was laying in front. He got us all trailers. I was literally laying in the ground. He tried for an hour to get me up.
We were sharing
I took too many mushrooms.
Yeah, sharing a, one of those trailers. Yeah. You know, it was like where we slept.
Sure.
And, you know, we were hanging out and everything. And it was just John and I. We were like the last ones up, you know. And
thank God.
Thank God. And everybody was asleep in there. Adam, my brother, heard it too. He heard me. And I was like,
his ass didn't come help.
No, he was asleep. He was in there.
His ass didn't come help.
He was like, I hear you guys. I'm not dealing with this. So there's these like 3 steps to get into this like aluminum like trailer. You know, one of those star trailer things.
Yeah, I know.
And John just couldn't get up those stairs.
Yeah.
And he's in this tie-dye thing. And it's like deserty, you know, dirt.
Co-host, and be quiet.
Yeah, he's like, wait, but, you know. And I'm like, John, I'm like, I'm not leaving you out here in this dirt. And, you know, John.
I'm like, just let me sleep here.
And I was, I'm not like a little. Yeah, he's like, let me sleep here. And his bed was only right.
Like, I just couldn't get
it. It was right to the corner.
All right, dude, just like the Hitler's check, please.
Wait, no. Do we have pictures of this?
No.
No. Just imagine like a tie-dyed John Reese. And you know what? I don't know. I ended up having, it's like one of the, you know, moms can lift the car off their kid.
Yes.
I got John into his bed.
All right.
That was the mission.
Love you, Bobby.
Yeah.
Love you, Bobby. Let's talk about your movie.
Oh boy!
I mean, entrepreneur. Yes, this guy.
Movie.
Yeah.
I don't even know about.
Yeah.
This.
So you know, it kind of relates to the Rod Stewart thing, where I was out on tour. I just had a daughter. I had produced this thing with Street Drum Corps called Scared in Jersey with Live Nation in New Jersey. It was a big theme park, and I said, I'm done being like the drummer that gets hired to entertain the king. Like how do I become John Reese and Kevin Lyman?
There
how
you
do
go.
I be the guy that can like give the jobs and like hire all my friends and stuff. Wow. I said, so we create, and you know, all the work that we did at all the theme parks I had learned with Blood Drums. So being in the theme park world, we put together a big maze. And it was amazing. Live Nation gave us like $1.5 million. Me, you know?
Yeah.
Like the biggest, you know, chunk of change we ever got.
Yeah, baby.
And we hired some people and we did this big event. And it was incredible. But I was like, I think I could tap into this a little more. Being born and raised in New Jersey, our legend is the Jersey Devil. It's kind of like the Loch Ness Monster, or Bigfoot or something.
Yes.
Our I'm hockey from team New York, is the Jersey Devils, yeah, you know, right?
I do.
So I, you know, I had this idea, well, I'm going to make a movie. I'm going to make a movie called The Jersey Devil. It's not going to be supernatural. I'm going to put a spin on it. So I just had this idea. And after I went on the Rod Stewart tour, I was like, I can't tour anymore. I don't want to miss my daughter's life.
Yes.
Like, I just can't. I know that I was put on this earth to drum. I know it, yes, deep in my soul. But I got to take a break from this right, yes, now. So I, you know, I started writing a treatment to the Jersey Devil Mischief Night. And this is about 2017. And I just kind of had it sitting in my notes. And then I was at school one day for my daughter and I met this guy who's now one of my best friends, Manuel Pica. And we started talking. He's written movies and done, directed and done all this stuff. And he said, why don't I come over? I want to hear about this idea. We started chatting, you know, outside the school. Our daughters became good friends. He had just moved here from Italy. And my daughter was like helping his daughter like with English. And I wrote the treatment. Manuel was like, well, now we got the treatment. Can I help you write it? And I said, no, I really have to do this myself. And that didn't work. So I called him back up and I was like, so I wrote a movie called The Jersey Devil Mischief Night. And I just finished my proof of concept. So I went and shot it. First time director, first time writer. I got it all together, got all these great people to be a part of it. And now I'm leaving for Sundance on Thursday.
Bam! That was your high five. I just can't reach you.
Well, I got you.
Yeah. Dude, that's awesome.
And you know, it's everything we've talked about.
Oh, love
it,
that.
It came out of, well, you've never directed anything, so what are you going to do?
Right.
You've never written anything, so yeah, it probably wouldn't work. Oh, L.A., you know, you're not going to be able to get this made. Someone will just maybe buy it off you.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This,
yeah,
is going to be the next 10 to 20 years of my life. You know, and this
Sancho thinks it's a good idea.
He knows. Yeah. So it's exciting, but I don't know how to sell a movie, but I didn't know how to sell a band either.
That's right.
And I got multi-million dollar record
deals. Figure it out. Yeah.
So, that deserves another one.
So, you know, it's really exciting for me, and I did direct it, and it was fun.
Sancho.
Yeah, this is how he contributes.
You stop it.
You are.
You're going to get fired.
You were so good the first show.
Yeah, you're getting fired on the next episode.
Well, maybe not give him a squeaky toy next time.
I know. Can you grab him another toy? We actually do have a producer. Raw of the Dead's our producer.
Raw's our producer. Yeah. Maybe even just take him.
I love it.
So is this in the can? Is done?
So the proof of concept is done, which is basically like a trailer.
Okay.
So when I go to Sundance, I'm screening at some parties and, yeah, you know, I've even talked to John, you know, some people that, you know, I made a budget.
Yeah.
The budget's $3 million.
Nice.
I took a couple meetings, took a meeting with...
I worked with Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I put together, so we hooked him up with some different
things. Yeah, so, you know, I'm taking meetings, but there's a time where, and this is kind of like the breaking into the scene, the music, you know, there's a time where you have to cut it off. Like I could ask for advice all day long. Hey, what did you do? How do you think? But there's a time when you've got to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm at that time right now where everyone's given me enough, you know, oh, that should be blue, not red.
Right.
Or maybe it could be scarier right here. Mm. Or maybe this, it's like, maybe fuck off.
Right.
Right now.
Maybe.
I love you, and right, you've made like hundreds of millions of dollars, yep, but like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So otherwise, you're just going to keep listening.
It's just this.
And never get done.
But also, that's from fear, too. Like,
of course.
Where I'm in that area where I'm fearing, like, I don't fear that I can't do it. It's just like, how do you get it? How does somebody write me that check? But I've been written those checks.
Yeah.
So it's just different now.
It's all mindset. I'm in this world. My son Tyler, my oldest son Tyler, we're all writing a movie as a family. We're starting a production company.
Amazing.
And we're shooting a film.
I just need $3 million.
Cul-de-sac.
Oh, and I love that.
And it's all about what goes on in the
You just
cul-de-sac.
Gave the title away.
I did.
Oh, no. Oh,
well. We copyrighted it.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, smart, good. Smart.
I love that. That reminds me of, like, the suburbs with, like,
yes,
Tom
the
Hanks.
Burbs.
Like, the burbs. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Ours is, what's that? Grown-ups.
Grown-ups.
Meets.
Oh, I love it.
The burbs.
Yeah. And isn't that fun? And it's in your head. You got to get it out.
Yeah, yeah. And my son is a film student. Went to TCU. And we've been sitting on this for a long time.
Yeah.
And now we're doing something.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And isn't that exciting? Because that's where the fire is making it.
For the family. Right.
Yeah.
You know, John and I are doing the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's why we have that damn podcast.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But anyway,
well, man, I mean, this time has flown. We're almost at the end of the episode, and God, yeah. I could sit and talk to Bobby the rest of my life.
Yeah.
We're
going
such
to tonight
a pleasure.
Dinner,
we're going to. He's coming.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
Yeah, well,
you
got too. We got one more thing to talk about. Bobby has the best pizza shop in Hollywood.
Yeah,
bam. On the
New
third
York pizza.
On yep. third.
Yeah.
Is it New York pizza?
For Black Craft, he made pentagram pizzas.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Raul, our producer.
Yeah,
Raul,
you were there.
Dad knows
yeah.
was there.
Yeah.
But he made pentagram yeah. pizzas. Unbelievable.
And I'm talking to Bobby about
Bobby's
doing some
pizzeria.
More stuff.
Yeah.
Bobby's where pizzeria. Is it? Bobby's Pizzeria.
We're 8369 West 3rd Street, Los Angeles.
I know.
So
it.
We're right in between the Grove and the Beverly Center.
Nice.
Yeah, we're
I
open.
Used to work at Robert's French Restaurant on 3rd and something like that.
Is that like Robertson? I feel like I've heard
no,
of that
No, not
place.
Robert.
Yeah.
I forget. But I was right around that area. Great area.
Yeah, we're open till 4 a.m., which is unlike
Smart.
Most places. So we do.
I got to have some Bobby's Pizza. I'm a New York
yeah.
pizza
well,
guy.
Maybe, like a spot, maybe I could be a sponsor of all
You
this.
Know what? Sponsored by Bobby's Pizza.
Yeah. Well, I just need some. I'm working on a frozen pizza line right now. So,
oh, hell yeah.
So
there's a lot of margin in pizza, bro.
Pizza is
oh
one of the
God.
Biggest sellers out there.
Yes.
And, you know, it's easy for me, like, to come to Palm Springs where we're at. It's 2 hours away. I could bring a bunch of frozen pizzas.
Yeah.
But I'm just mastering.
There's no good pizza out here. I'm telling
no,
you.
No, I drove
we'll
down
talk,
the strip.
We'll talk after the
yeah.
podcast. Anyway,
yeah.
look, you know, this breaking into the music industry, Bobby's going to be one of our mentors. Yeah. He's somebody that everybody needs to hear.
Mm-hmm.
He's been through the fucking ringer and come out of it because... You can be anything
yeah.
that you want to be. You just got to go get it.
Yeah, you just got to go get it.
You just got to go get it. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. We got to do another
Bobby,
one with you down
you're
the
awesome,
line.
Buddy.
Thanks, guys.
And
thanks
we're going to have a wonderful night tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to go. We got a nice fire pit outside.
Ooh,
and you know, maybe some other fun stuff. It's going to be beautiful.
Maybe the tie-dye scorpion was going to come in.
I doubt that's going
to
happen.
And if you'd like to be a guest on That Damn Podcast, please send a check for $1
million. Yeah. $3
million.
Bobby needs
yeah,
three.
I need
$3
million. Well, I'm reworking the budget, so maybe 1.5.
You should talk to Raul.
Yeah.
Seriously. After the podcast,
awesome.
You guys
okay.
talk. Anyway, you can be anything you want to be, guys. Thanks for joining us today. Bobby. Appreciate
yeah,
you.
Thank you.
Love
guys.
You with all my heart. We'll see you
talk.
May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Yes.
In Palm Springs at Indio. By the way, right next to the Coachella grounds. It's going to be epic,
Magic.
You guys.
Peace. It's a vortex.
It is a vortex.
It's a vortex.
Yeah. That's it. Episode 2 in the can. We out.
Woo!
Sancho, you were a bad dog.